WHTO.
That's WHTO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know you're welcome on WHTO. Randolph County.
From Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll-free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
And a good Monday morning, 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is The People Speak. Hope you're having a good day. Talking today with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. How are you doing?
Very well. Good morning, Jeff. It's always nice to have a chance to come in and say a few words about some of the different activities that are going on around Randolph County as it relates to Randolph County government and some of the things we're involved in, some of the different things that we're working on, different issues and programs and that sort of thing that we're working on. To try to move forward a little bit and improve Randolph County. Excuse me. Of course, this last weekend, for those who are over on the western side of the county, we had the rendezvous.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with the rendezvous, this is the first time they've had it. Well, you know, COVID.
Right, right.
And the first time we've had it in a couple of years on schedule in the first weekend of June. And they had a very nice turnout. I have not seen the exact numbers, but they had a very nice turnout and a very nice program. And, of course, Parade of Rocher was coupling that together with their 300th anniversary, which is good. And we're working to see, I'm working to see that they have a good year with this. It is a historical event. 300 years, that's a long time. You know, that dates back before the beginning of the country. In the Revolutionary War, when there was activities going on here, and Prairie du Rocher was being founded at that time by the French, and it's nice to have that come out and to be a part of it and realize that this is not only a historical district for us, but it's also a French historical district, and there are individuals who relate to historical French activities within the state of Illinois, and they recognize it as so. But what I was going to mention is, as usual, they had their parade, or as they have in the past, and I had the opportunity to walk in the parade as well and shake a few hands and visit with people I hadn't seen in a while, and that was really nice. It's nice to get out there and be able to visit and be a part of things. So that was a good event for them, and I'm happy they were able to get that on and put it together.
Right. Yeah, we went down there yesterday, I guess it was.
And, did you get an opportunity to visit as well? I did not get an opportunity to go down there yesterday. There were a couple of other different events going on, and I had to take those in. But Saturday I had the opportunity, and that really made it nice.
It's an interesting, a little warm, but, of course, then they have the winter one if they...
Yes, in actuality, it wasn't that bad. It's not as warm as I've seen it, in many times. Because the reenactors, they have those, wool suits on, and, of course, they dressed warm when it was, and as many years ago, and they do their reenacting, and it's very similar to the time. It's not an exact, but it gives you a very similar feel to it, and it's especially good for younger people to get the opportunity to see this, to kind of see history in motion as it was, as opposed to just trying to read it in a book.
Right.
And a life experience of it is worth a lot more than just a study of it. And so it'd give an opportunity for the locals who like to do the reenacting to get out there and be a part of it. And I was happy to see them as well. There were a number of them in the parade. There always is. And as well as the usuals and the fire trucks and the usual stuff. But it was a very good time. They had a very good event, and I was very happy for them.
All right. I'll tell you what. We've got a break. We'll go ahead and throw that in.
Sure.
And we'll be back here on The People Speak right after this. And welcome back. Again, you're listening to The People Speak. I'm Jeff, and we're talking with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder, talking about some of the things around the county going on right now. I guess the care center is one of the things that is in the news right now.
Yes, that has been in the news quite a bit lately. That is a referendum that will be coming up on the ballot on the June 28th primary. Of course, the primary is very late this year. Thank you, Mr. Pritzker. Normally, this would have been in March.
It would have been done and over with.
Done and over with, but now it's quite a bit later. But on the June 28th, there's actually two referendums, but one is more advisory, but the other one deals with an issue about the Randolph County Care Center. And the referendum reads a little bit unusual because, you know, these things are always put together by attorneys. And it says, you know, does the Randolph County Board have the authority to basically sell or transfer the care center? And it's, we're not interested in selling the care center facility, but what we're interested in doing is creating either a 501c3 or a quasi-governmental entity, you know, very similar to maybe how the Randolph County Health Department operates, to where it'll have its own board, and we transfer the property into this new entity, this quasi-governmental entity, so it can operate. The facility has been there just right at 70 years now. The original referendum, I believe, was 1949, which predates me, obviously, and many others. And obviously, things have changed a lot in the healthcare industry over the last 70 years. I mean, it's major changes. And of course, it's changed in this area as well. And operation of one of these type of facilities by county government is not a favorable way in order to do these things. You cannot receive certain funding. You're under certain requirements that you would not otherwise be under. And so in order to better operate it and have a better chance of being able to operate it and make it run in the black and in a positive fashion, which we all want to see, we need to be able to do this. The census, to transfer this, the census in the care center, and you know the number of people who are there on average, it was originally, well, there was more than 100 there now. Currently, we're licensed for 100 beds. But our census has been averaging in the low to mid 40s. It changes obviously every day, pretty much.
Right.
But it's been, you know, in the low 40s, which means we're about 60% vacant, or about 40% occupied.
Right.
That's... And when you're, you know, 60% vacant, that's obviously that's a problem and that's an issue. And in order to make the renovations that we need to do, in order to qualify for the funding we're going to need to have. In order to operate it on a profitable basis moving forward, we need to accomplish this referendum in order to do that. Now, there's been a lot of questions. Does it have anything to do with taxes? No, it has absolutely nothing to do with raising taxes. We're not asking for taxes or any of that. Just the opposite. We're wanting to move away from that type of structure into a, I don't want to get too technical in the terminology, but into an enterprise fund type of operation where it's totally self-supporting. So it's just the opposite of that, of wanting tax money. That's not at all what we're wanting. We're wanting to be able to restructure it so we can operate it into the future. Mm-hmm. So that's really what it's about. That's really what we're pushing forward to. And then to find new and better uses for the facility. I mean, there's a lot of building there that's sitting vacant. We're 60% vacant. You know, that means, you know, half of it's empty.
Right.
Okay. And one of the ideas that have been proposed, and we're not exactly sure how it's all going to work at this point in time, it's still being studied. But there's an organization in Randolph County called Comwell that deals with mental health counseling. And they work in they work with the hospitals through the county. They work with the schools through the county in counseling people who have, you know, disabilities related to mental issues, mental problems. Sometimes it involves substance abuse. Sometimes it doesn't. They do a lot of what's known as outpatient counseling, meaning they don't stay there. Mm-hmm. You cut like a doctor's office. You come in for a visit. You receive treatment. You leave. And type of thing. Most of their use of this facility would be related to that. I know it's there's been quite a bit of talk about people being housed there. If that actually occurs and it actually went that way, it would be very small numbers in the total that are involved. The vast majority of the use would be administrative offices, counseling offices, outpatient services, mm-hmm. very much too similar to a doctor's type office. But as I mentioned earlier, that is all still being analyzed because all of this involves funding from the state of Illinois, and there are a number of different programs out there, and quite honestly, the state is still analyzing, trying to figure out what they think would be the best approach type. And we're looking at several different models, best practice models, but nothing has actually been 100% decided on yet. But without some new and additional uses to the building, it's pretty difficult to rent and spend, you know, a substantial amount of money renovating a building that's 60% vacant. So you need to look at additional uses for the facility, because based on population trends now in Sparta, it's not going to change for quite a while. You know, population has dropped off. You see that in the Sparta School District. When my kids were in school in the Sparta School District back in the late 1990s, you know, and they were in high school in 98 and 2000, that time period, the census at the school was right at 2,000 students through the Sparta School District. The last numbers I heard put it in 1,100, 1,200. So you're looking at there, they've had 45% drop in enrollment. Mm-hmm. So you can see that, you know, the changing demographics are just taking a lot of population out of this area. And so it just takes away, when you lose population, it takes away possibilities for everything, not only the schools, but other businesses, et cetera. So this becomes an issue that we have to work on. What can we do to improve this? What can we do to help this and keep it moving forward in a positive fashion? And that's really what it amounts to that we're looking at. It is, and once again, I repeat, it has nothing to do with taxes. We're not raising taxes. We have no interest in that. It's the interest is in trying to find a way to restructure it so we can better operate it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We got another break.
Let's, okay.
Go ahead and get that out of the way, and we will come back. You're listening to The People Speak on Real Country 1230 at 97.3 WHCO. Welcome back. 949. Got a little bit of time left here talking with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. And we were talking about the care center, the referendum that's up on the ballot. And again, you mentioned the primary June 28th, which is much later than typical.
Yeah, very unusual for this time of year. It's just a one-time event, mm-hmm. because the law says it goes back the other way for the next primary election would then be in 24. So it would go back to a March date. I think it was the third week of March, mm-hmm. traditionally, third Tuesday in March. Right. But they pushed it forward this year for varying reasons. But anyway, I wanted to mention that, and I discussed it a little bit, but before the break, and I'd mentioned that this is a very important issue in order to help move the Randolph County Care Center forward. As I'd said before, it's been there 70 years, and a lot changes in 70 years. And if we're going to move forward into the next generation, these are the things that we need to get accomplished. We need to get this referendum passed. Moving on to other topics, I'd mentioned before on the show, and actually had a chance to drive it as well, but County Highway 5, that's the road that runs between Wine Hill and Rockwood. Mm-hmm. It's about an 8-mile stretch there, and it also includes just a little bit of a stretch out there on the Wine Hill Road. For whatever reason, they group them together that way. But the main section of it is the turnoff there at Wine Hill south down to Rockwood. That is being resurfaced. We had actually rebuilt bridges there, built and rebuilt two bridges, one in 19 and one in 21. We resurfaced the second one. And with those completed, we had the opportunity this year to have the entire pavement resurfaced. And that project appeared to be pretty much complete as I drove on it. And that's also the report that I've had from our county engineers. Yeah, I noticed it's still in need of striping, but they had the engineer markings out there where the stripes start and begin. So mm-hmm. I imagine somewhere in the next week or so, the striping will be put on it, and the project will then be officially complete. But it's very nice. It really is a very nice paving job, and it's going to be very beneficial. I'm always happy when we can work together and be able to allocate some money to make improvements to roads and bridges. Those are always important in Randolph County.
You know, talking about that road, though, And I know right now with gas prices, not a lot of people are just driving around for pleasure, but that's a pretty drive down through.
That is a very pretty drive down. I've heard it referred to as Illinois Ozarks, and and it really looks like that. It's just very much similar to driving on back roads in the state of Missouri as well. It's a very similar appearance, and this is very nice there in southern Randolph County. Randolph County is very fortunate. They have some very beautiful topography and land here. You have a little bit of everything from very flat and good farmland to rolling hills, and you know, in the smaller portions of Ozark Mountains and those types of things, and two rivers. It's a very wonderful place, and it's just a very, very good place, and with a lot of variety. Very good place to live. But anyway, that one is complete, and we have a couple of other projects that we're looking at, but probably won't happen this year. I know we're working on the Shoe Line Road, which would basically the county road that would run between the Sparta city limits down to the Shoe Line Road. It's about a 3-mile stretch through there. Excuse me. But that one is still under engineering and study, and it would require straightening a few curves, widening some shoulders, and that sort of work. So it takes a little bit longer, but hopefully maybe in 23 we will get that funded to begin, and we'll see how it moves forward from there, as well as some, you know, we're working, always working for funding on other projects and bridges. But that was our larger one for this year, and it's moved forward quite well.
Economic development?
Yes, there's always something going on in economic development. One of the issues, and which is, you know, had some comment, but it's kind of fallen back a little bit, but I'll bring it back up, is this solar field that they're looking at placing south of Tilden, north of Sparta, and east of Route 4 in that area, basically kind of across from County Road 18, which runs in front of the shooting complex. And in that area, that we had a company that has proposed a solar project of 1,200 acres. They've actually announced that. They have not filed their permit applications yet. So until they file their permit applications, really nothing has taken place. But I had some discussions with them and with the individuals in charge, and they were asking the time, you know, timetables on that. And I said usually about 90 days should turn it around. And it was, they were indicating that they would be filing something this summer. So we'll see how it progresses and moves forward. I think they're still trying to get their ducks lined up in terms of the companies that are going to buy the power off of them and that sort of thing. But I'd say it has a fairly good probability of actually coming into existence, probably a 50-50 or better. I know that Dynergy, which is now... It's not Dynergy anymore. Sorry, it's changed its name, which runs the Baldwin Power Plant. They were also proposing a solar field out there, and their coal-to-solar proposals before the state of Illinois that actually passed last year about this time. And but they have not filed any applications as of yet, so we'll see how it goes. But they were also proposing 600 or 700 acres of solar there, as well as some battery storage facilities, which is kind of unique. I have not seen that as of yet, but we'll see how it actually goes forward.
Whereas they'll take some of the energy they produce and store it,
and store some of it for use in the obvious answer, use in the evenings. Solar doesn't work after after dark, and it's good during when it's working on a pretty day and a sunny day. It's very good energy. It's very nice, but when it's cloudy or after dark, you know, it just reduces the output, and but the demand continues on, so you have to be able to design a grid that, you know, can compensate for both, you know, that type of issues. So that becomes the biggest issue in making these transitions. So I'm still hoping for the best in all of these moving forward. Also, coupled with the Prairie du Rocher 300th anniversary, we had put forth a couple of years ago some proposals for a national park or national monument status. That seems to be moving forward. Our U.S. senators in this state, Senator Duckworth, Senator Durbin, has shown interest in proposing legislation to make that happen. Obviously, proposing legislation and actually getting it through, to me, is two different things. It seems like everything they propose in Washington, D.C. these days is controversial. to the end. But this would, to me, would be something that you could get support for on both sides. It's just a very wonderful idea and a proposal that would really help not only in tourism in Randolph County and throughout the area, throughout the region, but, you know, in many other ways, job creation, etc. We don't often think about how much tourism there is in Randolph County, but there's a substantial amount involved, and this is a very popular area for people out of the St. Louis area to come to. And it's very nice to have it. And there's much historical, you know, process to it. As I'd mentioned earlier, you oftentimes forget about it, but this was once the Western Barters of the United States were right here and it on the Mississippi River. And there's a lot of historical preservation here. And also in the proposal that the senators were looking at, I think they were wanting to include some portions of the Cahokia Mounds areas that are also very historic in the societies left behind by the Indians who were here some 1200 years ago. And those are very unique. If you've never visited those, they're certainly worth seeing and could become a part of that as well for historic preservation.
Right. When my daughter was in school, they took a field trip there and I went along. And
absolutely. It's a wonderful thing. It's very unique. And I often study them. They built mounds all up and down the Mississippi River basin. And why they did those things is still very unknown as to what their thought patterns were, but they were very, very distinct in what they wanted to do.
Right. All right. Well, we're out of time, but thanks for stopping in and talking.
That's quite all right. I always enjoy it. You have a wonderful day.
All right. You too. For the People Speak, I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you tomorrow.